Coming up next, I'll share five crucial skills to give you an edge at work so you can get promoted. And then Twitter employees are freaking out and considering rebellion. Plus, I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. More money, more meaning. That's what we are promising if you listen in. And I'm a man of the people, so I'm coaching you, teaching you, breaking down current events, all so that you can win. Let's go. Five crucial skills that can give you the absolute edge at work. So let's first just call this out. Okay? You are in a competition at work. Some people say, oh, Ken, these are my coworkers. Yeah. I know. I'm not saying you're necessarily competing with your coworkers. What I'm saying is you are in a competition to advance, competing against the you of yesterday. There are times where you are competing for a promotion. Doesn't mean we're ugly about it and throwing our coworkers under the bus. No, but the fact of the matter is we are competing. Oh, we're also competing with people from the outside that might come in. So I am preparing you for the competition. If you want to advance in your professional life, you need to understand you're competing in one of those three areas: against yourself, right, the you of yesterday, coworkers for a promotion, and then you're competing against outside talent. It's just a fact. Now, we're competing with class. Okay, so everybody relax. Competing with class. But there's a problem when we don't understand that this is a competition, number one. And then another problem is we focus on a couple of things exclusively that we've been told to focus on, which is experience and skills attached to training or education. Now, are those two things important? Yes, experience is very important. Is upskilling in the form of training or traditional education, is it important? Sometimes, right? So I acknowledge that those two areas are important, but if we put all of our focus as to our advancement on experience and education, we miss these five people skills. There's five of them. Now, there are many more, but I'm going to tell you that these five soft skills is what they're called, or people skills, are absolutely vital to you winning in your work. Here we go. Number one, you got to be likable. You got to be likable, right? This is a function of, you don't have to be the most popular person in the office. This is not suggesting that you win a popularity contest. This is about getting along with the team, inside the team. People want you to be their teammate. This is very teammate, teamwork heavy, this skill. I'm likable, meaning I'm interested in my team. I'm interested in my leader. I want to serve them when I can. I do little things here and there. The attaboys, acknowledging, cheering for them when things go well. This is just simply being likable, being a favorable teammate, right? This is about the teammate function in the workplace. Be likable. Number two is coachable. Now, this is directly related to how your leader sees you, how your leader feels that they interact with you when it comes to, hey, I got to give you some feedback, some constructive criticism, or sometimes I got to tell you, hey, you blew it. We got to have hard conversations. How do you handle it? Are you coachable? Are you teachable? Third is reliability. This is, some people go, is this a people skill? Absolutely it is. You know what reliability speaks to? Trust. Can people trust you? Can they trust you to deliver? Do you have a track record of trustworthiness? When I am reliable, that means people can put their trust in me. That's where the idea of I rely on you, I lean on you. It is all about trust. Number four, this 2 years ago, LinkedIn actually listed this people skill, this soft skill, as the most valuable skill in the workplace. And it is adaptable? Do you have adaptability? So interesting that this is an A word. Adaptable could be made as a synonym for attitude. Do I have an attitude of, you know what? Change happens. The unexpected is a part of the everyday rhythm. And I'm not going to go, freak out every time something happens that I'm not anticipating or prepared for. Adaptability is an attitude of change happens, and I'm going to do my best to move with the change that needs to happen. Now, don't mistake here that adaptable is go along to get along. No, that's a doormat. That's you having no opinion. I don't mean that. I mean like, hey, there are certain changes that the marketplace puts on a business and thus your team or you in your role, and you're going to have to figure out how to adapt to the change. And finally, honorable. Honorable. This is integrity. Are you honest? Do you treat people with respect? Honorable. You are who you say you are. You make ethical decisions. Integrity is always the standard. Treating people of the opposite sex properly. This is honorable. And so if you look at these five, likable, coachable, reliable, adaptable, honorable, these are all what I would truly say are soft skills or people skills because they are all interactive in their nature. Look at that, likable. That's all how I am engaging with my team or my leader. It's personality. It's actions, behaviors with people. Coachable, again, this is a one-to-one relationship issue with your leader. Reliable. This is being trustworthy. Again, your teammates can trust you. Your leader can trust you. Adaptable. This is a spirit of I'm not going to walk around freaking out because life threw me a curveball. People are watching your attitude. And then that honorability, obviously we discussed that. This is all people, people, people. So what am I saying? I'm saying that many times the problem in our professional journeys and even with leaders, companies, ourselves, we put too much emphasis on growth as it relates to experience and education. And the real juice in life is in these five skills or any people skills. It is what separates good from great. Good companies, good employees. Why? Because you can't do business and ignore people issues. I mean, who's going to disagree with me today that we as humans are relational first and foremost? Of course we are. So I think the secret sauce for separating yourself from the competition. Remember, I'd led off this entire teaching with going, you're in a competition whether you want to call it that or not. And so the secret sauce is if I am advancing in my people skills, I'm separating myself from the competition. And here, can I just share with you one great piece of good news? You can go from zero to hero in all five of those. Zero to hero, you can improve. Now, why would we do this? Because this is going to make us a better person. And then that makes us a better professional, which means we have a better life. That's the reason we work on these skills. In the news, coming up. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us. Somebody in the chat room, I already missed it, but I was scanning quickly, mentioned my springy outfit today. And yes, absolutely. I am ready for the golf course. I'll be headed to the golf course after work today. It's a high of 63 here in the Middle Tennessee area. A little too chilly, to be honest with you, for late April. And so there you go. Got the polo zip on top, and we've got a master shirt. So the blue and pink together. And tying it all together with a pair of stone khakis. Let's see here. This is going to freak the team out here. There we go. See, people want behind the scenes. There it is. Nathan, first time ever. I'm afraid I pulled a muscle there. I might need some sports cream after the show today. Did not expect to extend the hamstring like that. But this is why you get a little extra sometimes. The team is so thrilled I did that. But there you go. Big news. Ramsey Academy, the Ken Coleman Show, partnering together to help you win in your career. One of the fastest growing skills worldwide is project management because of, A, the need for those people that are detail-oriented, that have people skills, that can make stuff happen. And economists are saying this field of project management is going to grow by 33% through 2027. And so we already launched one course, Project Management 101. It sold out. Big win. People are clamoring for it. So we said, all right, we'll do it again. So I, alongside our Ramsey Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcko, who hires and leads all of our project managers here at Ramsey Solutions, are teaming up to teach this course. Very practical. It's a three-week course. You're going to walk away with tools and strategies to figure out, is it, in fact, for me, project management, and jumpstart your career if you already know it is for you, and help you win. Spots are limited. Don't wait. Apply now at RamseySolutions.com/project. That's RamseySolutions.com/project. Okay. The biggest thing in the world in the news, well, it has an employee component to it. Here we go. All right. We got excited in there. Here we go. Two headlines. I'm going to break them both down. First headline, Twitter workers face a reality they've long feared. What? Elon Musk as their owner is terrifying. Another headline, Elon Musk, Twitter revolution, rebellious staff claim their new boss is dangerous for democracy. All right. I want to break these down. Here's the story if you're not on Twitter, and a lot of Americans aren't. So let me acknowledge right away, there are a lot of people that are watching and listening to this going, I'm not even on Twitter. So it is, of all the big social media names, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, I mean, Twitter's at the bottom, all right, as far as users. It is essentially a news and opinion service. And increasingly over the last several years, it has become more dominated by progressive and left-leaning people. This is not my opinion. This is a fact. So Elon Musk has come out recently and said, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to take it private and I'm going to allow free speech to be there, because a lot of people were being banned that were on the right side or conservative side of the aisle. So that's what's been going on. So Elon Musk actually buys this thing and Twitter people are freaking out, man. Now, there's a story here. I'm going to tie this back to you all, because I'm a man of the people. On Twitter itself, in private messages and in interviews with the Washington Post, many employees expressed their fear about Musk's $44 billion takeover. The big concern is that Musk would attempt to break down safeguards to protect everyday users that staff had built over many years. Now, keep in mind, the safeguards were, we're not going to let people like Donald Trump or other conservatives who have different opinions than those of us on the left, we're not going to let them tweet anything. So I just want to point this out. That's what the safeguards were. It wasn't about free speech. You can tweet whatever you want. It was, no, you can only tweet what we allow. Now, I'm just telling you, it's going to make some people mad. Just hang in there. I'm just reporting the facts. Some employees tweeted tear-filled emoji and memes of people having emotional breakdowns, while others told the Washington Post they were too shocked to speak. Okay. These are snowflakes, and I assume there are conservative snowflakes. I assume there are, and I assume there are liberal snowflakes. Well, I know there's lots of liberal snowflakes, okay? But there are conservative snowflakes. What do I mean by snowflakes? These are people that are way too sensitive, and they feel like life needs to be lived with elbow pads, knee pads, bike helmets on, and we live in a padded room because we don't want anybody to say or do anything that upsets our tender psyches. That's a snowflake. And if you are feeling like Elon Musk is going to destroy your life and democracy, you are a snowflake. People are saying they're freaking out. One person said, this is a direct quote from a Twitter employee. The news today is so crazy, I literally forgot I have COVID. Really? You didn't forget. You just said in the quote you have COVID. This is pie in the sky freaking out. Chicken Little. Ah! All right, now, one employee said Elon did not tie up 20% of his net worth to destroy Twitter. Now, there we have an objective person. This is true. He didn't spend all that money and leverage himself to the hilt to destroy the platform. He's not going to. But the company has more than 5,000 employees, and they've spent years building a progressive corporate culture. So here's what's happening. A lot of young people in this company, and I understand this, are going, Elon's buying the company, and now he's going to destroy my career, and he's going to destroy democracy and free speech. No, he's not. He's actually going to reinstate free speech, is what he said. So here's the point that I want to make on that one. And I'll come back to this because I got another headline to get to. Despite the fact that I think these are a lot of liberal snowflakes, all right, the fact is when ownership changes and values change with the owner, or you get into a company and over time values change, here's what I do want to point out. You should leave. I don't begrudge these Twitter employees for leaving if they decide to leave. If they feel that Elon Musk and any changes he makes to Twitter are in direct opposition to their values and what it used to be, I truly don't have to agree with them. I don't care. I actually am a man of the people. Left, right, agnostic, religious, I'm a man of the people. So here's the point. If the company's values change, or when you get in and you realize the values are different, you have the option, the freedom, and I think the obligation to leave. Here's the other headline. Rebellious staff claim their new boss is dangerous for democracy and threaten to destroy the app, the service. So Twitter has blocked its developers from making changes to the app to prevent it from being sabotaged by left-wing staff angry at the takeover. Amid an outbreak of hysteria among liberal social media personalities. Oh, don't get me started. About how many liberal blue check marks are threatening to leave. Why are you threatening? Just leave. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if you leave a social media platform. Just leave. I have no problem with anybody being upset about this, but you threatening to leave is like me going into the middle of the woods and chopping a tree down and looking around to go, did anybody notice that? Who cares? But this is vice presidential approval. There's one vice president who's allowed to approve any changes to the product right now of Twitter. It's got to go through that vice president because they're afraid that some of their staff are going to rebel. Why rebel? Leave. Leave. There's no need to rebel. Elon took over. You better deal with that. He took over. He's in charge. So you can rebel all you want to. Or you can just save yourself the unnecessary blood pressure and any other negatives that come along with it and just go work somewhere else. Now, I'm going to say about all this stuff, we are in trouble as a society if people are freaking out over the ability for someone else to tweet, pick a picture of what they believe they should do. That is free speech. And you don't have to like it, but you need to support it. Because that'll come back around to you if you're not careful. Get over being offended. Pay attention to stuff you like. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I feel like it's a little B3 there, Joe. Is that what that is there? That sound? That's very nice. I hear that. That's like a little old school, you know? And I want to play a little Air B3 here on the desk. But I can see it's making everybody uncomfortable there. Like, oh boy, we're getting into cheesy zone with the Air B3. I like that, though. Very simple. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got to read an email. I'll do it in a minute. I'll read an email in a moment. I got a fun surprise for everybody. That I'm going to share in a moment. An email from a listener and a viewer. I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, ZipRecruiter is the number one job site in America because they understand the tension that companies have. They need great talent. They want to find great talent. They understand what you, the job seeker, what your tensions are. You don't want to get a bunch of ghosting and rejection and frustration and spend, you know, hours in a day applying for jobs. They've got the artificial intelligence that makes it really easy for you to apply for a job with one click when you get a request from a company. And companies see your profile because ZipRecruiter spends all their time pitching you and promoting you to companies that have positions that they think are a match to your profile and your resume. Then Zip reaches out, says, hey, they want you to apply, and you get to with one click. How does that sound? Easy and awesome. Oh, by the way, it's free to you. You don't pay a dime. Zip gets paid by the companies that are looking for talent. That's you. It's free to you. ZipRecruiter.com. Go today. ZipRecruiter.com. Okay. Lane is on the line in Frankfurt. Lane, I'm going to get to you in just a moment. If I can find this, I hope I can find this. And if I can't find it, I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell you about it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I can't find it. But somebody emailed the show, ask@kencoleman.com. And told us they love Joe Hankins bumps. That's the music that comes into a segment, goes out. And somebody said they love the bumps so much. And we can't use, by the way, trademark music. Like, the world's changed, right? And so, like, with all the stuff, like, we can't use real tunes.
No Tom Petty, sorry.
No Tom Petty. Back in the day when Joe and I did the first version of the Ken Coleman Show on a local radio station, we'd come into, you know, a little Running Down the Dream by Tom Petty, you know? We do a little soul, a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. I mean, we had it all. We can't do it anymore. So we got all this, what do you call that music we use, Joe?
Non-copyrighted.
Non-copyrighted music. So anyway, somebody wrote in and they gave Joe some love. So I wanted to give Joe a shout out live on the show because he comes up with all the bumps. And somebody wants you to create a playlist.
I am in the process right now.
Oh, is it happening?
Outros and intros.
Fantastic, because I thought I saw Alex, the producer, say, let's do it. Create a list. So stay tuned. That's a tease. We're going to create a playlist for the uplifting, fun music that Joe plays on the show. So anyway, Joe, congrats to you. Great job. You're the hardest working man in show business. Lane is up now in Frankfort, Kentucky. Lane, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Well, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Well, trying to live the dream. hopefully I can get there.
Let's do it. Let's help out.
I had a question regarding the lovely topic of college, whether or not I should go back. I started out a little bit after high school, and then after realizing I wasn't sure at the time what I really wanted to do, I kind of came out and just started working. So I wanted to, but I've been entertaining the thought of going back.
Okay. Do you have some specific reason as to why you would go back?
What I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to go into, so I'm wanting to be a writer in regards to, you know, defending the Bible, you know, bringing people to Christ and things of that nature. But and everybody who does that I know of has encouraged higher education. But I can't, you know, obviously I'm not like in the field, but I don't necessarily see a connection between the necessity for going to college
I can tell you that, you know, you could go to seminary and learn about theology and certainly do deep dives on all this and get a master's in divinity and learn all about that. Or you could just study great theologians who've already done all that. And you know, whether they paid for it, whether they're legendary or not, like, you know, what are the great theologians that you read right now? I'm guessing, I'll bet you got two or three names that popped to mind, right? Who are they?
Yeah. Let's see. C.S. Lewis, William Lane Craig, Lee Strobel.
Yeah. So here's what I would tell you. You're absolutely right. You don't need college to become a writer, about mm-hmm. theology. And, you know, what I would do if I were you is I would create a body of work, because if you decide to create your own lane eventually, or you go work for somebody. So it gets down to this: who's hiring people to write about theology right now? Well, I got to tell you, If you answer that question, those people are probably going to require some theological degree. Those people. If they're hiring people, and I just don't know that there's a whole lot of that right now. Seminaries, yes, but they're going to require that. But if you just want to write and eventually create your own blog or podcast or whatever, I don't know how you turn that into a full-time gig other than just sheer page views, right? And then you can get sponsors and anything else. But the actual ability to write about theology does not require a theology degree. And I think you were better served to become an obsessed student of the theologians that you agree with. And when you understand what they say about theology and you agree with it, as you begin to consume that, what happens is you will begin to develop your own voice on it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is by what we consume. Here's a great little book that I want to have you go get. In fact, there's two. All right? Both books, you can read 10 minutes each. Fabulous little books. One is called Steal Like an Artist. The other one is Show Your Work. And I've interviewed the author, Austin Kleon, and these two books are about as simple of a process for somebody like you to go, okay, how do I begin to find my voice and write on these things? And here's the whole theory that Austin espouses, and he's right. When he says steal like an artist, he is not proposing plagiarism. In fact, he comes right out and says it's not plagiarism, but he uses the example of a Bob Dylan or the Beatles. Think of your two legendary artists, music artists. They were influenced by somebody. So who did Bob Dylan listen to when he was a kid? You know, I went and saw Garth Brooks do his one-man show in Vegas. Unbelievable show. And he spent the whole first hour playing other legendary people's songs that he listened to when he was a kid riding in the car with his dad. Some were country, some were rock and roll. But it is those artists and their influence on Garth Brooks that gave him the voice he has today. So here's the point. Spend all your time reading, consuming theology that you agree with, and it will begin to shape you, and you'll have your own take on what others have said. You will have your own take on how to apply what you believe to be the absolute truth. So start there. Start creating now, because there's no pressure to be paid for it, and your livelihood doesn't depend on it, so your creative juices are going to be free. Do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Create a blog. Submit articles to other places. Figure out your niche. Figure out where you can get paid to do this, and then either it's going to be for somebody else, which will require a theology degree. But if you want to do it on your own, it doesn't require a degree. And I will just tell you point blank, learn how to write. Take some writing classes, which you could do that online. That doesn't require a college degree either. But, you know, learning how to write is the key skill. Writing about theology, that's the easy part. Once I learn how to write and I get the skill of good writing, now it's just a function of now I'm using that skill and knowledge to write about something I care deeply about and what I believe. And what you believe about theology will inform the writing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
All right, my man. Now, we'll tell you, this is a tough journey to be paid full-time to do that. But go do your homework or all the places that people get paid to write about theology. Start there. What's required? Then go, what would it look like to do it on my own? And then regardless, start doing it on your own. Show your work. Go get those two books. Steal Like an Artist. Show Your Work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.